Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So one of the things I think this pandemic has shown us, I think it's shown us how vulnerable workers are to protect themselves in the workplace, especially if an employer just doesn't buy any of it. And we've heard those stories. For me, I was saying all during the pandemic, where's OSHA? Why wasn't Trump's OSHA out in front protecting people? I know our unions were doing a great job where they could, but you need the federal government. You need state laws to stand up and protect people. And I'm hoping now we look back and say, you know what? This is never going to happen again. We need to go forward. We need to make sure that future workers never have to endure what we just went through, which is why I look at New York. Their General Assembly just passed the New York Hero Act. I guess this is just waiting for Cuomo's signature. This would, as I understand it, be the first law in the country to mandate permanent standards to guard against airborne infectious diseases in the workplace. This, to me, is an important piece of legislation. Now, here to share some thoughts on the New York Hero Act, I've asked Maritza Silva-Farrell to come talk with us. She's the executive director of Align and a coordinator with New York Essential Workers Coalition. Their website, alignny.org. We'll get links out on social media. Also, protectnyheroes.org. We'll get those out. Maritza, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, Rick. Thank you so much for having me.
So walk me through this. What is the New York Hero Act?
Well, with the New York Hero Act is essentially, hopefully, if it actually signed by the governor, it will become a law that will create clear, enforceable standards, specifically for how every business can keep workers safe and avoid any other costly shutdowns. Essentially, workers will be able to create worker committees. Through these worker committees, they can decide what kind of safety standards they need in the workplace to be able to continue working. The legislation specifically points out to retaliation protections for workers who do not feel safe, for them to not be retaliated against. So far, what we've seen through this pandemic is that there are huge corporations, as you were talking about earlier, like Amazon, that, you know, if a worker complains about not having enough personal protection equipment, of not having hand sanitizing, then the worker will get fired just by speaking up. So yeah. This law essentially creates airborne infectious disease standards, enforceable, and on the top of that, allows for workers to create their own worker committee so that they can come up with protections and work with the employer. And that would essentially protect us from any future pandemics or diseases as we know it.
Yeah, for me, I mean, this is one of those things, and I've been saying this all during the last year plus. This is the reason that you have a union. This is the reason that you have representation on the job. And for me, the big push should be making sure that every worker in this country has the ability to join and form unions. And I'm glad our president is moving in that direction. But to highlight your point about if you squawk too much, you get fired. I look at the guy from Trader Joe's who put a suggestion in the suggestion box saying, hey, this is how you're not protecting us. This is how I would like to see it. And they basically wrote him a letter saying, you're fired. You're not Trader Joe's material. Your time here is at will. There's the door. Good luck, buddy. And that should never happen.
Absolutely, Rick. That's the situation. And this worker would have been protected by the state law if we have New York Hero already in place, right? So I think here, the example of the Trader Joe worker is an example of many, many workers who have been retaliated against just by asking for simple health and safety protections in their workplace. During this pandemic, if there is anything that we have to learn, is that we have to work collaboratively, right? It's not about only the employer being the bad person here or the employee trying to just take advantage of the employer. It is about actually protections for all. At the end of the day, our communities are the ones who have been affected. So right now, what we're waiting is for Governor Cuomo really to sign this bill, and we have until tomorrow. If the governor does not sign this bill, it will be very telling in terms of how important it is for him to reopen our state without having an enforceable protection for workers as much as for our communities.
Now, as I understand, the mayor of New York, de Blasio, is saying, I guess July 1st is the day you're planning on swinging the doors wide open. So it's my view that I think, at least my view is that I would want to have the protections of knowing that I have the ability to protect myself. And part of this legislation that I understand, and you're obviously the one who's the expert on this, in my view, this is, you know, protocols for face masks, PPE, the social distancing stuff, airflow standards, so that you have recirculation, things like that. This doesn't sound like it's too onerous. It doesn't sound to me like it's too high a bar to ask for employers to do. I'm curious your thoughts.
I mean, some of the employers, at least the ones who are responsible, are already doing this because it's in their own benefit.
Right.
But here we are a day close to pass this legislation, and we have some folks from the business community, mainly the ones who are the big ones in New York City and New York State, coming out against this legislation. And they're actually saying that they're going to be spending even more money because of these protections. It's basically, it's common sense. Folks are already investing in this kind of equipment, and is responsible not only for the workers, but for themselves, because in that way, they don't have to shut downs, right? Like many of the shutdowns happen because workers got sick, and therefore, you know, you pass it on to the families and communities. What the other piece I will say actually that's interesting is that, you know, we are hearing that, you know, vaccines now is like, well, we all are opening up our city. Things are just like nothing is happening, right? Like everything is normal. People are getting vaccinated. That's fantastic. We're all happy about that. And we are feeling that, you know, we're actually one of the privileged countries to be able to access to vaccination. So that's great. But it's only one piece. That's what we have to make sure that is clear. Vaccination is only one piece of the broader set of protections against COVID-19, right? In New York, we have to ensure that any kind of variant that might come around, you know, does not exacerbate any other diseases in the future. So right now we hope, and we are really encouraging the governor to do the right thing here, sign this bill intact as it is, and ensure that workers will have these protections as much as businesses.
Now, we're in this moment of you know, political polarization, where you've got the anti-mask people and, damn it, I'm not wearing a mask. And we're along political lines on this. But as I was reading about this, this New York Hero Act actually has bipartisan support, correct?
That's correct. We passed with bipartisan support in the Assembly and the Senate. And in the Senate, actually, we have majority of support. We have the majority of members of the Senate voted on in favor. And the only Assembly members who came out against the bill were the Assembly members who actually carry on the message of the large business community, which was, well, I'm going to be spending more money on PPEs, extra $100 to buy protection personal equipment, things of that nature. When we all know very clearly that folks are already required, and not required, actually, they are following the guidelines. And this will make it so that it becomes required.
Yeah, but, you know, when you start talking about this, and again, you know, I'm going to ask your opinion more than anything. Who are the workers that we're talking about protecting? Because like anything, it comes down to who's deserving of help and who isn't. Are we talking about restaurant workers? Are we talking about grocery workers? Because remember, these were the people who we were told were our heroes. These were the folks who were essential, the people who work at the fish market, the people who drive the trucks, the people who do the work at the bottom of the economic scale. You know, not so much, you know, the people who are working on Wall Street, they're going to be fine anyway, but, you know, the lower rung. So how much of this do you think, if it doesn't get signed, has to do with who you're talking about protecting?
I mean, we're protecting the workers who have been called heroes, essentially, here. And you're totally right, Rick. We're talking about workers for too long have been the most vulnerable workforce here, right? Like the same workers who are in the farms, picking up our potatoes, the workers who are actually feeding our families, the workers who are at the front lines of this pandemic and have been at the front line of this pandemic. And let me be clear, this legislation will protect workers who are not unionized and workers who are unionized as well, because not every union sector, not every union workplace has established health and safety protections as you imagine, for example, in the healthcare industry, right? So these would apply for workers who are, we were hearing stories, for example, of workers in the laundry worker center, workers who are working in the commercial waste system. Many of the large commercial waste owners of the scatters, they just want the workers to work fast and they just want them to do their job. They don't care about what conditions, right? And though some of those workers are represented, so unions have to step up, even supporting workers like UPS, as we're hearing what's been happening with our good friends from the Teamsters here in New York. They have to go on a strike and fight, right? So similarly, we're hearing also stories in the restaurant business. Just you're talking about the restaurant business. New York is known for our restaurants. We love our restaurants, we love our waiters. But one of the things that are happening here is that those workers are not getting the protections that they need in the workplace. And they are forced to work sometimes in conditions that aren't really acceptable. So what this law will do is actually protect all of those vulnerable workers who, even before the pandemic, have been affected by the way the system works, which you're talking about today, like, you know, the race to the bottom concept here, including, I want to just say one more thing, Amazon workers, right? The largest corporation in the world has not been able to provide basic protections to those workers. During this time, when workers are trying to unionize, you know, the same workers are raising their concerns. And what do? They have a union busting, right? And now what we see here in New York is that we have a moment in which we can hold at least some of what they're doing, hold them accountable on. And that will be in terms of health and protections for the health and safety protections for the workers.
So let me flip this around for a second then, because, you know, I'm with you on this. We do need protections. But here's the thing. We've got OSHA. The Occupational Safety and Health Administration is supposed to be that frontline help to help protect workers when they're on the job. They fell down. And I would argue not just did they fall down, I believe they were ordered down. I believe they were deliberately defunded. I believe they were deliberately restrained because that administration of the former guy was all about deregulation, all about shifting corporate power even further into the hands of the wealthy and away from the rest of us. What's to say you pass this? And same thing. There's no enforcement. They give it lip service, but there's nothing there. What do you say to the person who goes, okay, you passed the law. Well, nobody's going to enforce it.
Well, we have actually specific language in the legislation that we make so that we have, for example, private right of action, ensure that there are enforcement mechanisms where the employers will actually have to pay liquidated damages in some cases, like that we have to pay for workers who are raising concerns. Obviously, as I said earlier, this will be a space for workers and employers to be able to collaborate on this. We want businesses to continue to function, but we want them to actually change the way they're doing things with their workers. So the enforcement mechanism is going to be the number one thing here. It's not just about passing the bill. It's about passing a bill that will be enforceable, but also allowing workers to be able to come together with these worker committees. Right. And that is critical part of this bill because it allows for workers to be able to come together, which you don't see happening, for example, on Amazon.
Right.
Right. So that is a change and the difference is between what we've seen in other legislation.
Yeah. But if you listen to Amazon, you know, the door is always open. You can always come in and you can always share your thoughts. My problem with this is, you know, these worker committees all sound great until you start looking at the fact that most states are at will employment states. And if the boss hears something they don't want to hear, much like the Trader Joe's guy, you know, there's the door. Only they won't say it has to do with the safety committee because we believe in safety. They'll come up with any other reason. I just didn't like his shoes. You know, whatever. That's my concern, which is, again, why I keep coming back to we need to get people joining and forming unions to get the protection of law behind them there so they're empowered to stand up, speak out, and defend themselves.
I mean, absolutely. That was going to be my second point, Rick. You know, at the end of the day, collective bargaining agreements and forming a union and ensuring that there is a voice in the workplace, you know, it starts there, right? Not only for this kind of legislation. This legislation creates a path for workers to be able to feel empowered, to speak up, to be able to come together, particularly in workplaces where we've seen that there has been retaliation, where there has been a lot of anti-union practices. So that's the beauty of this law that would allow also for unions to continue to enforce some of these kind of legislations. And lastly, I would say that the Department of Labor, as well as the Department of Health, will be enforcing these standards as the law is established at this moment.
Are there any other states considering language like what's in this HERO Act? Is there anything out there that's doing this? What you're proposing, or what's already been passed? Anybody else doing this?
No, I was just gonna say. I mean, if we are to pass this and actually have this legislation become a law, we'll be the first state in the country with an airborne infectious disease standard ever created, right? So at the end of the day, if we have a law like this in New York, we will also serve as a model for other parts of the country, particularly right now when we see that folks are talking about worker committees, as you're saying, workers are talking about what kind of health and safety standards they need. So there is a piecemeal of things that people are doing, but not a bill or a legislation or a law per se that is as comprehensive as New York HERO.
So last question I've got for you. How can we help? What is it that our listeners can do? What is it folks on social media can do to help move this in the direction to get the governor, Andrew Cuomo, to sign this into law?
Well, here's one thing that is very important to do. I mean, for my folks in the labor movement who I hope they're listening in today, I want to say, like, just take the phone. You know, we have to call our governor. We have to let our governor know that it is not okay for our state to reopen our doors of every single business and open everything without ensuring that we have a law that will be enforceable. New York HERO is that. So we want you to call the governor, ensure that there is safety and protections for workers, sign the bill intact as it is. And the number to call is 518-474-8390. Calling the governor and letting him know that this is going to be not only important for New York, but for the entire country is what he needs to hear.
And we'll make sure we get that number out on social media so folks can pick the phone up and give them a call. Also, I would suggest sending a tweet over to the governor at NYGovCuomo. We'll make sure we get that out so folks can do it as well. But Maritza, I appreciate you taking some time filling us in. And I hope the best that the governor does come through. And I hope you guys win on this. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks so much, Rick. We'll hope next time we talk, we have a lot in place.
There you go. Good stuff. Maritza Silva Farrell, Executive Director of Align New York, Coordinator of New York Essential Workers Coalition. Make sure you check out their website, alignny.org, protectnewyorkheroes.org as well. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people on the talk.
Remembering that united we bargain, divided we beg. Rick Smith.